State Rep. Julie Alexander on the hotline. Julie, we go from one disaster to the next here.
We do. Yes, we definitely are right now, aren't we? Good morning, Greg.
Yeah, it's hard to keep track of them now.
You know, I'm grateful for my staff. I'm grateful for the opportunity to have the opportunity to read so many articles, because just staying on top of the news, it's challenging at times. But again, I appreciate those that reach out to me to bring issues to my attention. I'm grateful for the opportunity to speak with City Manager Jonathan Green last week. We had a conference call between Senator Shirky, myself, and City Manager Green, and to hear some of the challenges in the city as well. Appreciate the township supervisors and officials that reach out to me as well.
Yeah, everybody has a list, don't they?
They do, and I like to say, you'll hear me say this quite a bit, don't assume that I know what you know, because, you know, I sit here and I do my best to stay on top of all the information, but reaching out to me, the number of people that still reach out to me on a daily, hourly basis because of the challenges and filing an unemployment insurance claim. And they quite often start by saying, I'm sorry to bother you. I know you have important things to do. And I always respond, you're not a bother. I'm here to help you as well. So just encouraging those with unemployment insurance claims issues to reach out to our office as well. The best way to do that is emailing us at julialexander@house.mi.gov.
We had a sit down with Jeff Beal on Wednesday, and that Jeff's as positive as anybody you can talk to, and that was a sobering 20 minutes.
Yeah, it was. My understanding is when we look at these issues, we have a major problem. When we look at the current budget right now, there's a $1.2 billion deficit. So in other words, money that did not come in due to COVID-19 and the extensive shutdown in our state, money that did not come in that we were planning on providing to the school aid fund. I have spoken with the county superintendent several times over the last few weeks, continue to be in conversation with them. I'd like to know, you know, and they're providing the numbers for me, what federal dollars they have already received or they're in the process through some of the grants. And then we know we've got additional dollars coming to the state. How do we ensure we allocate those dollars wisely? You know, these were budgets that were planned and played out. Ultimately, the problem is, if the money is not there, it is not there. But we understand the priorities and the promises that our educational systems have made too.
Yeah, it's nobody's fault, right?
It is no one's fault. COVID-19 is affecting all of us in a variety of ways. I think we also know that many of us have been pushing for quite some time. If employment can be done safely, if a service can be provided safely, we have been asking for quite some time that those individuals in those service industries and those manufacturing industries get back to work ASAP. We're definitely seeing, you know, some lightening of that. With now we are up to 97 executive orders, but they're coming, they're trickling in, and again, we continue to ask for the metrics.
So, where do we go from here? We're in phase four somewhere.
I don't know. You know, good question. Look at her color chart, and I'm not exactly sure where, because I'm not seeing a lot of consistency in that. But where do we go from here? Greg, that's a great question, and it's one I get often. Two nights ago, I received a phone call. She reached out to me with a text, and this mom in Parma area, and I text back, let's just talk on the phone. The reason I went to talk with her on the phone is she has concerns about her young child who really wants to go back to school in the fall, and they don't know what school's going to look like in the fall. And this mom wanted me to give her some assurances. And I said, well, here are the assurances I can give you. It's not going to be state mandated. Each local community, each district, each county ISD, they need to be the ones to create the plan that works for them. so I spoke with her for quite some time because I don't want to hear of small children, you know, not being able to sleep at night, that are dealing with mental issues because of the uncertainties. Because the uncertainties, what I'm hearing in people's voices, turn into fear. And fear is not a good thing. We need to continue to find solutions. We need to have a better understanding of what our revenue is, of what the feds will be sending our way, and we are working diligently to make these decisions as soon as possible.
Well, you know, the revenue forecast is not positive. It's not good, so that's going to be one issue. You did talk to the superintendents, Julie. What are they coming up with?
Well, we've been asking them to provide us with some of the numbers, to crunch some of the numbers to help us understand. I've also asked the superintendents, we know school in the fall most likely is not going to look like what it did last February. So what did the superintendents need from us as legislators to lighten the regulations, the policies, the laws that are in place? Right now we know in order for a school day to count, 75% of the kids must be in the district. That's the only way they'll get their state funding, if they have a 75% district-wide attendance. So we can lift those modifications because some students may be learning from home. There may be some more flexibility that's needed, whether it's, you know, teacher evaluations, count days, the list goes on and on, the merit curriculum, right? So we tightened up the merit curriculum a few years ago to ensure that our students are academically successful and that we have consistency around the state. While that's a good thing, during this period, is that what we need? Because if budgets are tighter, modifications may need to be made to that scheduling, and we want to empower the locals to make those decisions.
So are we, I don't know, are we likely to get some assistance from the federal government as far as education?
Yes. Yes, those dollars will be coming in, and then the question becomes, what's the best way to spend them and to disperse them? The state will be getting some money that we can allocate down and through, and then the local governments, or, I'm sorry, the local schools as well have received some dollars.
Mm-hmm.
It's based on the Title I formula. So you've got school districts like Jackson Public Schools. They're receiving a significant amount, higher amount than other districts that don't have as high as Title I student population. So, you know, we need to take all that into consideration.
Probably planning for the worst, but hoping for the best.
Well, again, the superintendents don't have an easy job either. And
no.
I know I hear from teachers on a regular basis, what's the plan? As I mentioned, I hear from parents on a regular basis. And we tell them we are working diligently on this to find some solutions. But in the meanwhile, I want to remove all the barriers that are preventing them from being innovative.
Bars and restaurants, I guess we're still holding off on that. Probably because of two areas, Detroit and Grand Rapids, is that the way you see it, Julie?
Well, I don't know that the governor is thinking it the way you and I are. That would make sense to regionalize it. She did regionalize Northern Michigan, but I'm not exactly sure when or what we will see. I am just here to tell your listeners, if they have specific questions on these executive orders, please email me. Again, julialexander@house.mi.gov is by far the best way. When people call or text or put something on Facebook, although I do respond in a very timely fashion, I have to hear what you're saying, and then I have to phrase it to my people. I would rather you phrase it so that I make sure I'm capturing the real message that you're asking. So by emailing me, for instance, the most recent executive order says that beginning Friday, May 29th, we can resume in Michigan non-essential veterinary services. Okay, medical, dental, veterinary services can all begin Friday, May 29th. So then some pet groomers reached out to me. Okay, just want to make sure so I can open on Friday the 29th with pet services. And I responded, according to the executive order, you would be in violation. So they read, you know, pet veterinarian services, and they make that assumption or leap. I just want to make sure people have the information that they need as they make their own business decisions. I am not here to, I'm not the police. I'm not law enforcement. I am just here to make sure you have accurate information and happy to clarify these executive orders because they are so confusing. In addition to that one, on Tuesday, May 26th, we in Michigan can resume certain retail activities such as purchasing goods, but again, that's by appointment only. Automotive dealerships and showrooms by appointment only. So those were some of our recent executive orders that just came out. In addition to amendments to the long-term care executive order, so in executive order 2020-95, she has modified what a nursing homes must do. She's modifying it to say if you have 80% capacity to have residents that have tested positive COVID-19, to requiring nursing homes to make a reasonable effort in creating a dedicated unit for COVID-19 patients. So that one I was excited to see. I did send the governor a letter just last week asking her some questions on our nursing homes, asking what the oversight was in this process, and actually asking for confirmation on the death reporting of those in nursing homes. What confirmation do you have to have in order to put COVID-19 as a reason for death? So reaching out to the governor still on a regular basis.
So something we would normally be talking about would be the new auto insurance situation. Doesn't that start up next month?
It sure does. In fact, I have a mailer. I'll be updating things on my website to make sure everyone knows and is informed. I would suggest for those that are excited about the option in being able to choose what health coverage you want attached to your auto insurance, I would strongly suggest you reaching out to your auto insurance agent and asking them right now what your health care coverage is if you were to be in an automobile accident or one of your family members.
Uh-huh.
Those are some of the bigger changes. So start with that, finding out what you currently have for health care coverage while traveling in a car and what that looks like. And I think from there you will be able to make some better decisions.
State Representative Julie Alexander. Julie, appreciated as always.
Of course, Greg, and thank you for all you're doing, and have a great rainy Friday.
Stay safe. Be careful out there.